T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Time now for us to talk to the manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex is brought to you by Arbella Insurance, your New England Honda dealers, and Cumberland Farms, the official coffee of the Red Sox Radio Network. Alex joins us now from Tampa, where the Red Sox are playing the Rays. Hey, Alex, how are you?
I'm great. How are you guys doing?
We're doing great, thank you. We were just having this talk about your player Mookie Betts, and I know you're probably a little bit biased when we ask you this. Is he now in the conversation of being one of the best players in baseball?
He is. When he what he brings to the table on a daily basis, not only offensively, running the bases, defensively, he stops the running game. He does a lot of things. I mean, he's a 5-2 player, and there's a few of them in the big leagues. And you know, right now, he's having probably the best season of an offensive player this season. Obviously, he's doing an outstanding job hitting for average. Hitting the ball out of the ballpark, stealing bases. He's been amazing.
You talked about the conversation you had with him in January when you told him he was going to bat leadoff and you wanted him to be more aggressive at the plate. Do you think that he could have this kind of year if he was hitting in another spot in the lineup, or is that just because of the position you've put him in?
I don't know. I can't answer you that question, but approach-wise, he's a lot different than last year. He was a very passive hitter. And it's not like he's swinging at the first pitch all the time, but there's intent in every pitch. He's so disciplined. He stays away from bad pitches, but he's ready to hit from the get-go. And that's something that I didn't see last year. Actually, we took advantage of that situation with him and other guys just to get ahead. And then the first two at-bats, and then be careful with the first pitch in the third one because it was like a predetermined swing in the third at-bat, and we did a good job with the Houston Astros against him. So I don't know. I don't know if he'll have the same production hitting somewhere else, but we're happy with him leading off and setting up the tempo.
Seems like the new approach has been benefiting a lot of the players on the team. One guy who's off to a slow start is Jackie Bradley Jr. Did have 2 hits last night, but still hitting under 180. Have you seen anything different in his at-bats recently compared to earlier in the season?
Yeah, less movement, more athletic, and less movement in the sense that his head is staying still. But he's in a better athletic position. I don't know if you guys watched the game yesterday. There was no leg kick. It seems like he was on time. The first one, Cron didn't make the play. He got the base hit, but then the second hit, he stayed up the middle, hands inside the ball, and hit it back to the middle. And then the ground ball hit to second base. It was well stroked too. And he walked Sunday at home. Yesterday on a 3-2 count, it was 50-50 pitch, actually, borderline up and away. And the call went against him, but. It seems like he's seen the ball a little bit better the last few days. So, he'll be out there tonight, and hopefully he can keep improving.
Alex, he has options. How much thought, if any, did you give to sending him down to try to figure things out at Pawtucket?
No, I mean, we always talk about rosters and our roster and all the situations that can come up. But, we're trusting this guy to go out there and perform every day. We've been working with him on a daily basis. Actually, they're probably upset at me because I'm doing the interview and they're missing the best BP in the world. That is mine at 2:30. But they're hitting early. They're doing the thing. He's working, and it seems like he's making strides.
What makes your BP so great?
It's so tough that then at 7:05, when you face the big leaguers, it's actually a tick down of my stuff. So it's actually better for them.
Hey, last night, Craig Kimbrell had kind of a rough go of it in the ninth inning. Anything in particular, do you think, or just one of those nights?
Just one of those nights. The at-bat by Sucre, that was a great at-bat. 3-2, able to not swing sliders down and away and fouled off a few pitches, and then he got that base hit to left field. Miller, it seems like for everything I heard, Miller, he's the Babe Ruth of his Babe Ruth against the Red Sox the last few years. I mean, it seems like he always gets at bats against us, and he's done it this year. He gets a fastball up in the zone, he hits a double. Then doesn't give in to the next hitter and makes a few good pitches to Smith, and he gets out of it. But I think he, you know, velocity was okay, location was okay, so no concerns with him.
Now, last week we talked about Carson Smith with you and his injury, and he sort of alluded to maybe overuse being a part of why he was hurt. And you had then said, after our interview, speaking to the rest of the media pregame, that you know you were going to have a conversation with Carson Smith. Have you had that conversation yet?
We did. We did, actually. And we talk about the whole thing. And, like I told him, I'm pulling for him. I want him. Hopefully everything goes, in a positive way, and he can come back sooner rather than later. I expressed my feelings. He expressed his, and, we turned the page.
Did he express to you that he felt that he was being used too much and that was a part of it, or was that?
No. I'm not going to tell you what goes on in that office, but like I said, we turned the page, man. He's a good kid, and he explained me why he what he said, and I told him where I was coming from. So we left it at that, and he's part of the organization, he's part of this team, and I know he's pulling for us.
Alex, one of your former teammates, Dustin Pedroia, is due back soon. Do you have an idea of how you're going to use him and how you're going to fit him on the roster?
I got a pretty good idea. one thing for sure, we just got to make sure he plays tonight. I don't know how the weather is over there, but that's the most important thing right now. He didn't play yesterday. He didn't play on Monday. The plan is for him to play today, and I think they have one of those special days tomorrow in Pawtucket that they play at 11 a.m. So we'll see how he reacts tonight. But, I do have a pretty good idea. I think Dustin is going to help us offensively, as you guys know. And defensively, he's going to, he's one of the best defensive second basemen in the big league. So we just got to make sure we keep him healthy throughout the season. It's not that I'm he's going to get a lot of off days, but we got to keep him fresh. Everybody saw what happened last year where he was. Obviously, he was hurt. But then towards the end of the season, he wasn't performing. And we want a good Dustin Pedroia. So I got to make sure we keep him fresh and ready to go.
We can tell, obviously, Nunez has had issues with his knee since last year, and he's been playing through them. Would the DL for him be a possibility as you try to make room for Pedroia on the roster?
Nunez is healthy. He's healthy. So, the last time, every day I check with him, and actually he, the work he's putting in, not only offensively but defensively before games, tells you that he is. So, he's a part of the roster. He's going to help us to be better. He knows the situations. He knows what's coming, and he knows how we're going to use him. So I do feel that moving him around, not only defensively but in the lineup, is going to help us out, and I know he's going to contribute.
Tonight's starting pitcher, David Price, is coming off, I think, the best game he's ever thrown in a Red Sox uniform in his last start. What did you see from Price in his last appearance that made him so effective?
Although he used his fastball a lot, he was changing speeds with it. He was using different locations with it. As you guys know, this game, the way pitchers are attacking hitters, that vertical attack, using that fastball up in the zone, it works. It works, and you can see David, going inside against righties, then outside, going up and in, up and away, being able to use his changeup. But with him, it's all about control. Be precise, and that night he was outstanding.
Now, J.D. Martinez off to a great start. He's got to be in the MVP mix here early in the season. He seems to be a better hitter when he's in the outfield compared to DH. Not that he's a bad DH by any means, but he seems to be a little bit more engaged potentially in the outfield. Is that something that he has talked to you about, trying to get some regular time in left field still?
I don't know. I think he won the player of the week being DH last week most of the games. So, this guy, it doesn't matter with him. The thing is that he likes to play the outfield, but he understands where we at. When he's DH, negative thing is that whoever is throwing batting practice in the cage has to throw batting practice for 7 innings because the guy won't stop hitting. But besides that, there's no complaints. He's going to hit regardless. This guy, he prepares. He executes, and he wants to get better. So if he plays left field, right field, he's DH, we know he's going to put a good at-bat anyways during the day.
Alex, big picture question for you, a little off topic. The NFL announced today their new rules about the anthem and how you have to stand for it and all that. And I'm curious what you think of the fact that none of this stuff has really found its way into baseball, either in terms of players being really socially active or in terms of protesting or anything like that. Why do you think baseball has sort of been different from other sports in this whole thing?
I don't know. I think there was a situation last year in Oakland, if I'm not mistaken. Maxwell, he expressed his feelings, and I mean, he did a good job, I think, talking to the players before the game and talking to Melvin, and they, you know, they felt okay with the situation. I was last year, to be honest with you, during the playoffs, sometimes you wonder, you know, if somebody is going to, express their feelings during the anthem, but it didn't happen. You know, in our case, you know, we encourage our guys to go out there. As you guys seen it, you know, everybody's out there. But if somebody feels like they want to express their feelings, we're going to respect that. Obviously, we all address the situation, but now, like I said, we encourage them to go out there. I think it's very important, not only because of what it represents, but also what happens before the anthem and after the anthem in the dugout. I think it's very important to have the group together, and it means a lot to us.
Time now for the Cumberland Farms Question of the Week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us to ask Alex every Wednesday. Today's question comes from Megan Hoyo of West Springfield. She asks, with so many players turned managers, like yourself, are there any that you are in contact with to discuss the experience of the transition?
Yes, I stay in touch with AJ. We talk a lot. We talk like probably 3 times a week, AJ Hinch. I learned from him last year. Obviously, it's a different situation. Well, especially this year, you know, he's a world champ, so it's fun to be there. Obviously, the market is different, but at the end of the day, we have to manage our guys and put them in a position to be successful, and he did an outstanding job last year. So I talked to him a lot. You know, so
now that he's a world champ, does he still take your calls?
He does. He does. Yeah, he does. Yeah. I can't wait to see him the next week, man. It's going to be a fun weekend. Get that ring and show it to the guys and catch up with all those guys.
Now, Alex, I know you said Jackie Bradley's in the lineup again. Any changes to it tonight?
No, we're going – oh, yeah, Christian is catching tonight. He's hitting ninth. So the rest are the same as yesterday.
Alex, we always appreciate the time. Good luck. We'll talk to you next week.
You guys take care. Bye-bye.
Thanks, Alex. That is Red Sox manager Alex Cora joining us from Tampa. We're broadcasting live from West End Johnny's, 138 Portland Street. Normally they open at 4, but because we're here today at 2, if you want to get a little head start on your pregame,
yes,
come on down. The doors are open, and we're just down the street from the Garden where the Celtics take on the Cavaliers. It's Dale and Keith. John Tomasi's in the house as well. Sports Radio, WEEI.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.